Right now, it is time to find somebody who never has the time to molt, always spreading those wings and flying. It is Dr. Judy Werkman, the co-author of the Serotonin Power Diet, serotoninpowerdiet.com. Also, Simon Loses His Tummy, and Dr. Werkman's going to fly in here right now. Good morning, Dr. Werkman.
Good morning, and it's nice to speak to both of you in the same microclimate,
That's right.
New England.
I don't know. I'd be happier with your other microclimate. How is it in Boston?
Oh, it's fine. You know, it's still
gray.
Very few signs of new growth. The forsythias are out. That's about it. But you know, the sun is shining, and one can go outside without wearing 17 layers of clothing. So it's not too bad.
Well, that's good to hear. So before we address your very erudite topic of the day, week. Are there just more and more asinine diets coming out?
Well, what is, I think, very disturbing, Jill, is the keto, paleo, no carbohydrate diet, instead of going away, even though there have been some reports showing that a low carbohydrate, high protein, high fat diet may contribute to a particular kind of heart disease called atrial fibrillation. That came out about last week. It's still being promoted, and there was an article, I think it was in the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, over the weekend, written by a non-scientist, saying, oh, all these celebrities are following this diet, and they seem to be losing weight, and I tried it, and I lost weight, so it's a good diet. I mean, really, a very carefully researched article. So I think it is very disturbing, and I have to say that I had a conversation with somebody who's consulting with me, an Italian executive who got a hold of me, I don't know, through very complicated ways, but, you know, I've been doing telephone consultations with him, and he said to me, he gained weight on antidepressants, and he said he went to his physician. The physician said, go on, a high-protein, low-carbohydrate diet, which is what the nutritionist said, and he did that, and he actually became much worse.
Because you're hungry.
Mood.
Your body gets hungry.
His mood became much worse, and he said, he explained to the doctor that, well, no, he needed the carbohydrates in order to make serotonin because that's what his antidepressants were working on. The doctor said, huh? Basically,
yeah, right.
The Italian equivalent of uh-huh. And had no idea about this. Oh, you should really stop eating carbohydrates. So I think it's becoming global, and I think the effect is people are not going to be losing weight permanently unless they stay on this kind of diet, and it's not good for you. And I think people's moods are going to get worse as a result. But I guess, it's not as bad as global warming, but maybe in terms of mood, we have global worsening.
Yeah, but I think that the thing that I find frustrating in all of it is, in the same way, look, I'm not the queen of vaccines, but in the same way, from a public health standpoint, I find the measles outbreaks really irritating.
Right.
How can you you spend X number of years eradicating something, and then a bunch of misinformation suddenly becomes the gold standard, and the next thing you know, all that hard work has pretty much come to naught.
Yes. I mean, and God forbid there should be something like a polio outbreak.
Yeah, God forbid.
Because we're just sitting on that kind of a catastrophe. It is impossible, really, at this point, to sort of put the information back into a scientific box, because people are able to say whatever they want. And if you say, no, that's not true, well, I believe it's so, and so therefore it is
right.
True. I mean, the only thing about this, the diets, is that when they don't work, because they won't for most people, because most people will have cravings for carbohydrates, and also they need the vegetables and fruits and grains and fiber that a Mediterranean-type diet will provide, they'll just stop it. I mean, it's only the diehards, the people who say, well, I'll never have a morsel of carbohydrate touch my lips again, they'll stay on it just the way, somebody who is trying to be abstinent from alcohol, I don't mean to be negative about it, but they feel, these keto people feel that one drop of carbohydrate is going to wreck their bodies. And so they'll stay abstinent.
Until they've developed some sort of ailment that will force them off.
Yeah, and as long as you don't tell me what to eat, just because you like that diet, that's fine. It's just when they get on the air, when this thing came out about atrial fibrillation, people said, no, no, that's not true. I don't believe it. Well, you don't believe it? Fine. Some people, you know, we talked before, believe that the earth is flat. That's fine, but just don't tell other people who have their medical advice based on science. You know, you'll ignore this kind of information. And by the way, so let me just go back to this topic very quickly, because it is something that I really was sort of shocked to find out, and I think other people should know about it.
Yep.
I had a conversation with a friend who was telling me about his mother, who had a fairly extensive operation, but she was in very good shape mentally before she went into the surgery. And as a result of the anesthesia, it turns out, she developed cognitive deficits and developed sort of a mania that lasted really for about almost a year. And he and the family were absolutely unprepared for the mood changes and the cognitive changes. I mean, they knew that there are some, you know, really, you know, disruption, mental disruptions from people who are in the hospital, especially, you know, intensive care, because of the constant lights and the noise and the pain and, you know, the stress of being there. But what he had not realized is that these changes can be long-term. So I started to look into this, and it was an excellent Scientific American article that was published about 3-4 years ago saying, yeah, this is the case. You have any idea when you have anesthesia? And it can even be the getting the kind of sedative that puts you under when you're getting sort of regional anesthesia, like for a hip replacement, but they give you a sedative to put you under immediately, and sometimes they give you more than you really may need, so that you sort of don't wake up and say, doctor, why are you, what are you doing here?
What are you doing?
It really can have very, very long effects. And I think that you can't deny yourself having surgery when you need it. I mean, and sometimes elective surgery, like having your hip replaced, even though you don't have to have it, is really important for the quality of your life. But people should be forewarned that they may suffer the consequences of the anesthesia, and the older you get, the more likely that something can happen. And there was a study that was mentioned in the Scientific American that I went and looked at, in which people who were given anesthesia were monitored for up to a year after they had the anesthesia, and for cognitive changes, and for some of them, they last as long as 6 months or a year. Memory loss, executive function loss, sort of inability to learn things. These effects lasted, for some people, a year after their anesthesia, after their surgery.
Now, I have
and
a
it used to be thought... Oh, sorry, go on.
No, what I was going to say is, you really didn't know this?
Not as... I didn't think it was going to be as... I know. I did not realize that the results could last as long as they did.
Okay. I just, this is one of those...
Maybe you've had the experience.
No, well, kind of. But it came from a predecessor. It came... The realization that this could happen came from an old golden retriever, the beloved Zarino. So this was decades ago when she was a young bucklet, and she
right.
was spayed. And, you know, it was just so obvious that while the operation was a success, it took time for the anesthesia to, you could smell it. You could just smell it on her. It just took much longer, and no one said anything about it. And we know I'm weird, but from that moment on, I have always factored in the much longer side effects, and I've actually been staggered that no one kind of mentions it, just as a rule. That's odd. You know, they were having trouble with their phone service.
Well, they're not there. Well, that's it for Judy Wortman.
Food for mood.
Okay. You can find Judy, of course, on our on-demand page, robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand. Click on food for mood.